Good back there, Eric? Okay. So the title of the message this morning is You Were Not Loved Because You Were Not Understood. A French Christian, Madame Guyon, who lived from the late 1600s to the early 1700s, wrote in reference to Jesus, You are not loved because you are not understood. Maybe we could add an extension to this statement that there is little or no hunger and thirst for the Lord because he is not understood. In the past, we spoke about being an empty vessel before the Lord. We are not willing to be emptied of ourselves in preparation to receive more of the Lord because we don't know and understand him well enough. In other words, if we knew and understood Jesus better, we would always have a hunger for more of him. We could always get more of him. A few years ago, I spent some time in Branchbrook Park, living so close to it, and I was just taking pictures while it was in full bloom. And I was admiring the trees and the awesome artwork of God, and I thought, God, you were so awesome. How could some people not love you? And the answer came to mind, because they don't know me. God wants us to really know him. He is waiting for that time in each one of our lives. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 read, Thus says the Lord, Let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. How well do we know and understand God this morning? At any point in our Christian walk, we could ask this question. How can we get to know and understand God better? In the Bible, there are examples of people who really knew the Lord. We're going to review some of these examples. What about Abraham? Abraham knew and loved the Lord. God had communion with Abraham. Does he have communion with us? We know that the Lord spoke to Abraham in telling him about the land that he would give to him and his offspring forever. The Lord also told Abraham that he would give him a son in his old age. And Abraham would build altars to the Lord. He was willing to sacrifice his son for the Lord. He really loved God. Abraham knew and understood some of the character and nature of God. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 23, speaking about the destruction of Sodom, Abraham asked God, Will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And verses 24 and 25 of the same chapter, Abraham asked God, Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city, will you also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should perish or should be as the wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You could see by those words, Abraham knew the character of God. A very important point this morning. He knew the character of God well enough to ask him these questions. And then to say, that'd be far from you to do something like that. Abraham really knew God. But how did Abraham get to know God that well? By spending time with him. How about Moses? Moses knew the Lord. Knew the Lord very well, as we know. Many times God spoke to Moses. Moses would go up to Mount Sinai and the Lord would speak to him mouth to mouth. God gave him the law that we know as the Mosaic Law. I'm going to read, if you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 24 to 26. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 to 26. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. In essence, Moses refused to become Pharaoh in Egypt and chose instead to suffer with the people of God. How could he make a decision like this? Because he really knew the Lord. Otherwise, he never would have made that decision. Moses loved the Lord. He knew and loved the Lord so much that he even asked to see him. We know that God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock as he passed by. Moses had knowledge of God because he spent much time with him. Analyze your daily activities. How much time do you spend with the Lord? How about King David? You know you have to include him in this subject. King David knew the Lord, but how did he acquire this knowledge? He spent much time with the Lord. We can see evidence of this in the Psalms. Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18, I'll read it to you. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. David knew and had communion with the Lord. Imagine waking up in the morning knowing that you are still in communion with the Lord. When you open your eyes, Jesus is the first thing on your mind. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. And his greatness is so vast and deep as to be unsearchable. We say that God is almighty, but we don't understand or even know the extent of his greatness. It is infinite. Psalm 147, verse 4 reads, he counts the number of stars. He gives names to all of them. Stop there a minute. There's probably about 100,000 at least. 100,000 galaxies in the universe. Each galaxy has about 100 to 200,000 stars in it. Now, let's read that verse again. He counts the number of the stars and gives names to all of them. The infinite wisdom of God. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Confident? Why? Because he knew God very well. David has spent enough time with God to know his nature. Wow. Knowing the nature of God. Can we say that we know God so well that we really know his nature? God wants us to know him that well. That would be awesome if we could say we know the nature of God. If David didn't know the Lord, he never would have been able to defeat Goliath. Because David knew the Lord, he was able to say, "You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David was only able to say that because he knew God and his nature. David knew God and what he could accomplish through him. One more example. What about Paul's desire to know and understand Jesus? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 4 to 10. Philippians chapter 3, I'll give you a moment to get there, and we're going to read verses 4 to 10. Those of you online, Philippians chapter 3 and verses 4 to 10. Philippians chapter 3, and beginning at verse 4. We read in the King James Version this time. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he may trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but rubbish, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." So Paul has an impressive resume. Yet he counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus. The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus. Counted all things but loss. And Paul, as we read, had an impressive resume. He described the knowledge of Jesus as excellent. Other Bible translations describe the knowledge of Jesus as priceless and surpassing greatness. What value do we place on the knowledge of Jesus? We have spent much time in secular education, which is good, but the knowledge of Jesus is greater than any or all education. Paul considered his education and his knowledge as rubbish compared to the knowledge of Jesus. And Paul, as we know, was very educated. Paul had such a hunger for the knowledge of the Lord that in this knowledge he included the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul was willing to suffer in order to better understand the sufferings of Christ. This is the extent to which Paul wanted to know and understand Jesus. We know that Paul did suffer. He was thrown in prison, beaten, assumed dead. No one enjoys going through sufferings and afflictions, but through these events we get to know and understand the Lord better. This morning, how well do we know and understand God? Do we know his nature as Abraham and David did? Do we want to know and understand God better so that we can throw all our love on him, which we should be doing? We want to remember the words of Madame Guyon, "You are not loved because you are not understood." What effort are we making to increase our knowledge and understanding of the Lord? How can we get to know and understand him better? A study of the Bible guided by the Holy Spirit will reveal its author. When you are studying the Bible, emphasize, pay close attention to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Study intently the life of Jesus. And coincidentally, that's where we are in our Bible study in the book of Matthew. Deeper you go, the better it gets. With the help of the Holy Spirit, read in between the lines about all that Jesus said and did. Read closely into how he lived his life, his actions. Try to absorb what he taught, the Sermon on the Mount, which is where we are right now in our Bible study. Study his parables and see the love, the compassion pouring out of his heart as he spoke words of comfort to people, healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead for someone. Take note of his responses to people or his lack of a response, such as during his trial. We get to know God through worshiping and glorifying him. When we read the lines of worship and praise to the Lord, we learn of him. Worship ushers God's presence into our homes, our lives. We also get to know and understand the Lord through afflictions and trials in life. No one likes going through trials, but they help us to understand the life of Jesus better. Nothing in your life is haphazard. The trials in your life are not haphazard. The Lord wants us to get to know him better. With God in the person's life, there is purpose and a reason for everything. The purpose and the reason, even for your trials. We may blame God for certain events, trials in our lives, but if we begin to know and understand God, we will realize that every event in our lives happens for a reason and a purpose ordained by by a God of infinite wisdom. With God, nothing's haphazard in your life. If we knew and understood God better, we would be better able to accept the trials in our lives, knowing that God permits them for a good reason and a purpose. If we really knew and understood God as we should, we would love him so much more. He is absolutely worthy of all our love. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. God has an infinite love for us, and He wants our love. We will love God more if we knew and understood Him better. We want to commit to getting to know the Lord much better. Make a point of it. Even if we've been in church a long time, we want to commit to getting to know the Lord much better. Knowing Him much better will lead to loving God the way He deserves to be loved. Doesn't God deserve, and isn't He worthy of all our love? Maybe if we knew and understood the Lord better, we would be more willing to be emptied of ourselves and therefore hungry and thirsty for so much more of Him in our lives. We want to love the Lord with our lives and be filled with Him. So I'll leave you with that, and we're going to get down to pray. If someone could lead in a word of prayer to conclude the message, that would be great. Okay, we're going to conclude with hymn number 247, More Love to Thee, and remembering that right after service, we will have a meeting. Anyone is welcome to come. We'll have a meeting to discuss the church 90th celebration, our plans for it, how we want to put it together, what we want to do.